Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul. I was encouraged to hear a testimony by Esteban Perez, who's sitting back in the very back tonight, and he was telling me how God just, when you let God lead, how he blesses you. And how you've got to learn to listen to God, don't you, brother? You've got to learn to recognize the different ways that God speaks to you. So when you listen to God, he wants you to prosper. He wants to bless you. He wants to show you how to get your needs met. He wants to help you with the situations you're facing, the family, and the whatever issues you got going on. He wants to help you, but you got to listen. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our ways. And actually, when we're talking about wisdom on Wednesday nights, I encourage every one of you, if you're a businessman or you want to be successful in life or business or whatever like that, read the book of Proverbs. It's the book of wisdom. It's got all these sayings of the wisest man in the world. So I don't know who you listen to out in the financial world. If you listen to Charles Schwab, if you listen to Elon Musk or whoever you listen to, Warren Buffett, you need to listen to God. He's smarter than all of them. And he's got wisdom for you. When you think of wisdom, I want to distill that word wisdom down to the most simplest way I know how. And I simplify the definition of wisdom as simply this: being led by the Spirit. Spirit-led. Let God lead you. That's wisdom. And I think that's what the book of Proverbs teaches us. In fact, it goes on to say that the very purpose of Proverbs is to, look at this, say it with me, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now, a wise man will hear, keep reading with me, and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, in those first seven verses in the book of Proverbs, I want you to note several words. Note these words: the word know, instruction, perceive, receive, discretion, will hear, interpretation of something like riddles and proverbs. So wisdom, getting wisdom from God, involves all of this. To pick up on the different ways God is talking to you, you have to perceive things. God doesn't usually talk to us directly with a direct answer. He usually speaks in a parable or a proverb or a set of circumstances in your life. Are you with me? Jesus did. He spoke in parables. So God, to have God's wisdom and to understand his leading, we need to understand, perceive, pick up on by the Spirit the way God's talking to us in a way that other people may not pick up on. God often talks to me in a very humorous way. In a way that if I told somebody God's telling me something through this incident and through that incident, or through even a television program I'm watching, I hear a line and I say, you know, God's talking to me, they'd think, well, you're crazy. But very humorously, God will talk to me. This one preacher tells a story about he decided it was time to get a new car. He just had new car fever, and he told his wife, he says, we just need to go. It's time to get a new car, and I want to get a new car. He had new car fever. So he makes his way down to the car lot, and he starts looking through cars, and he already had it. You know, I want to test drive this one, on test drive that one. But in his heart, there was just something telling him, no, don't buy a car. Not time to buy a car. Now, he paid attention to it, but he didn't pay attention to it because he realized that I think God's telling me something that I'm not to buy a car. But I'll just test drive a car because I just want to know how it feels. And when I get ready to buy a car, I'll know which one I want. You ever talked yourself into something like that? So he test drives this car. As soon as he gets inside, he's got his two little boys with him, and he straps them in the back seat in the back. And as soon as he starts to put his foot on the accelerator, his little boy in the back seat started singing spontaneously, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful. And he recognized that was the Holy Spirit through his son telling him, pay attention to the warning I gave you. It's not time to buy a car. He pulled it over a few feet, parked the car, told the guy, thank you, got out and left, and didn't buy the car. Was God talking to him? He was. Has God ever talked to you humorously like that? Have you heard the voice of God help you, talk to you, or encourage you, or lead you through something that you would say, wow, that's a funny story? Anybody? Number of times. But see, you've got to be, wisdom is being spirit-led. You've got to pay attention. Something's not working out. You don't have peace in your heart. But on the surface, everything looks good. The figures look good. The numbers look good. We should proceed. But on the inside, you don't have peace about that. You need to pay attention. God's trying to lead you. He doesn't lead you directly. He wants you to make the decision. He doesn't want you to be a robot, but he wants you to make the decision, but he wants you to grow in discernment, in wisdom, in perception, in recognizing and things going around you. Nothing's coincidental. God is trying to communicate to you. Without a thunderbolt and a loud voice saying, don't buy the car. He'd rather you grow in discernment, be spirit-led. Well, that's what God wants for you and I. And so I want you to notice that the Word of God is wisdom. The whole Word of God, the Bible, is wisdom. And the Bible requires that you don't read it like another book. It's not another book. It's the Word of God. And when you read the Bible, it requires deep thought. And you should slow down. And requires meditation. You say, I don't know how to meditate. Let me ask you this. Do you know how to worry? You know how to meditate. Because worry is you just thinking of the wrong thoughts, a fearful thought, over and over and over again. Meditation is just thinking something over and over and over again. And so when you read the Bible, you have to realize this is God's way, his primary way of talking to me. I don't hear the audible voice, but God is speaking to me through the written word, and I need to slow down in my thinking and reading and listen for his still small voice on the inside as I read the Bible. Can I get an amen from somebody? Amen. So the fear of the Lord that I left you with last week, we talked about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is basically the awareness of God's presence. Do you know that God is present? Not just now, but when you're driving in your car home tonight, God's present. When you lay down and sleep tonight, God's present. He's awake while you're asleep. You know that God even ministers to you in your sleep at night? He doesn't waste 8 hours. He ministers to you in ways that you may never know. Those things may be sealed up until and opened up at another time, and you'll wonder why you thought a certain thought and why you think this or why this looks familiar, because God is at work while you're sleeping in your soul. Amen. That's awesome. So the fear of the Lord is the awareness that God's always present with me. Nothing's coincidental with me. The person that I come face to face with today, that's not a coincidence. The phone calls I have today, that's not a coincidence. Somehow, some way, God is involved in all of this. That's the fear of the Lord. And if you don't believe that, you don't have the fear of the Lord. And God said, the fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom. That's where you get. If you want wisdom, you start right here. Here's Christianity 101, wisdom 101. You start right here. If you want wisdom, wisdom is recognizing God's in everything. Amen. Nothing's coincidental in my life. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man. The Washburn version says even the stops of a man are ordained by the Lord. Nothing's coincidental. Not a thing. Not even flipping through the channels on the TV. God is in everything. And the fear of the Lord is recognizing that God is trying to communicate something to you. Look at this in Proverbs chapter 2. My son, say it with me. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for knowledge, and you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her wisdom as for hidden treasure, everybody say, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom out of his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. God wants you to have wisdom. He wants your life to radiate with the wisdom of God in every area of your life. In your health, he wants you healthy. He wants you healthier than people that are without God, so that they'll look at you and say, how come you're so healthy? He wants you happier than people without God, so people look at you and say, how come you're so happy? He wants you wealthier than the people without God, so people will look at you and say, how come you're so wealthy? And you say, God gives me wisdom. He gives me wisdom. Do you want that? God wants you to have it more than you want it. He really does. Look at this in Psalm 25. Who is the man who fears the Lord? God will teach him. God will teach this man in the way he should choose. He'll help you with choices. If you slow down and you ask him and you wait for him. Isn't that right, Esteban? If you slow down and you wait and you listen for God, he'll help you choose, won't he? If you run off too quick, you'll make a big mistake. If you run off and do something because you think it's got to be done today, and you don't have the peace of God ruling in your heart, you're going to make a big, big mistake. And you're going to pay more for something than you needed to pay if you just waited on God. In fact, God might even give you something free if you wait on him. Amen or oh me.
Amen.
Who is the man who fears the Lord? God will teach him in the way he should choose, and he will dwell at ease. He's at peace. He's not fretting. One of the signs that you are walking in the wisdom of God is that you're not fretting. You know how to wait on God. The fear of the Lord, one of the signs is that you're at ease.
Praise God.
You know, rest in the Bible, the word rest, which is one of my favorite subjects. the rest of the Lord, like in Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4. Hebrews 3 says that the children of Israel did not enter the rest of God because they did not believe, because of unbelief, because of doubt. They didn't enter the promised land. But the rest of God is not a location physically. It's a spiritual location of being at faith, being in faith. And rest is the manifestation of faith in God. When you have faith in God, you rest. You may not know the outcome, how things are going to work out. You may be in a difficult circumstance at that moment, but you have rest. It's supernatural. We're to have that all the time. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest." We're supposed to have that. That's a peace. That's a contentment. It's a supernatural rest. It's a manifestation of God's presence on the throne of your heart and His wisdom. And so we need this rest. Do you know in Psalm 23, I know you know that, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What's the first thing that God says to us, to those of you who are, "The Lord is your shepherd," what's the first thing God leads you to do? "I will make you lie down." What day of the week was Adam created? The sixth day. He was created on the sixth day. Six is the number of man. What was Adam's first full day? The Sabbath day. He just got created on the sixth day. He gets up. He's got a whole world that's already finished and created. There's trees, there's plants, there's animals. There's so much to learn and do. And then the evening and the morning are the first day. See, God's day starts in the evening. The evening and the morning. So Adam's first full day was a day of rest. "God, what do you want me to do?" "I want you to rest." "Well, come on, we got things to do. We places to go. I want you to learn that if you're going to walk with me, you start with rest. You start with faith in me. You start listening to me. You don't run off and do things on your own. You're going to have to learn to be led by me. If I'm your shepherd, the first thing I want from you is a heart that rests in me." If the Lord's your shepherd, that's the first thing. "I want you surrendered. I want you in rest. Then I will lead you. But I will not lead you until your heart's at rest." You catch that in Psalm 23? "I will make you lie down. And then I will lead you beside quiet waters." Before God can lead you, your heart has to be at rest with God. Now He can lead you. If your heart's not at rest, He can't lead you. If your heart's not at rest, you want to go do this, you want to go buy that, you think you need to do this, you're making all the decisions, and God says, "No, I can't lead you until your heart rests in me. Now I can lead you. And I will lead you." But it all begins there. What is that? That's the fear of the Lord. I'm not my own shepherd. I have a shepherd. I'm the sheep. I don't know everything. I don't know what to do. I need a shepherd. You guide me. You direct me. I ask you questions. I ask you for wisdom. I wait upon you until you show me. Now you're being led. That's the way sheep operate. Without a shepherd, guess what? Sheep go astray. Sheep make bad decisions. Bad decisions. Any sheep here ever made any bad decisions? Because you weren't following the shepherd. It's simple. It's not complicated. We're sheep. He's the shepherd. He knows more. He's genius. He's real smart. He has plans for us. We need a shepherd. I need a shepherd. Anybody here need a shepherd? Raise your hand. I need a shepherd. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, Proverbs 3:16. Happy is the man. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. It's not dropped in your lap. You have to search for it. Like I said last week, he doesn't hide it from you. He hides it for you. It's the glory of God to hide a matter. It's the glory of kings to search it out and find it. He wants you to have the joy of discovering wisdom in his word. God's word is true. God's word really works. God really does want to prosper me. God really is leading me. God really is helping me. This is exciting. The Spirit-led life is exciting. And happy is the man who finds wisdom. Then he describes wisdom as a woman. Not a man. He describes wisdom as a woman. She is more precious than rubies. And all the things you desire are not to be compared to her. Wow. Come on, God, is that really true? Really? Length of days is in her right hand, the hand of authority. And in her left hand are what? Everything you've ever desired in life. What do you want in life? You want health? That's length of days. It's not how long you live. Length of days is health. What else do you want in life? You want riches and honor. Do you not? Anybody? I do. I want health and I want riches and honor. I want that kind of success. Everything you want is right there. It's in her right hand. Wisdom has length of days, health. In her left hand, riches and honor. Everything a human being desires in life. It's right there. It's wisdom. Where? It's in his word. It's in fear of the Lord. It's in listening to God. It's paying attention to him. He's always talking. Not a chatterbox, but he's always willing to communicate to you. He's always willing to warn you, like, no, don't go this direction. He's always willing to warn you about a bad deal, a bad situation. You get a check in your spirit, we say, spiritually. That means you just kind of know, something's just not right about this. It's the old Bob Mumford saying, ain't nothing wrong, but something ain't right. That's when you stop. That's when you slow down. That's when you wait. You don't have to hurry and make a decision. Any salesman or anybody trying to pressure you into making a decision today, this offer is only good for the next 30 minutes, forget it. No, it's as good as long as God wants me to have it. I'll get it some other way, but I'm not going to be pressured into making a quick decision. Slow down. Like the snow globe, let all the dust settle, and you start to find everything that shines is not gold. Every offer they offer you is not really that great a deal. Slow down. We need wisdom, and wisdom requires that we walk with God. We fear the Lord. We know he's with us. He'll tell me, he'll guide me, direct me. Should I buy this? Should I make this purchase? Should I make this move? Should I do this? Should I do that? God, I'm waiting upon you. If I don't hear anything from God, what do you do when you don't hear any answer from God? Very good. You passed a huge test. If you'll do it. And not cave into the pressure. Now, what if you ask God for wisdom and he's silent? Why is God silent when I'm asking him for wisdom? I've asked you, God, for guidance. I've asked you for lead me. Why is God silent? Why is God silent at times? Three reasons, and there's plenty more, but here's just three. One, he's already spoken. You're supposed to know the answer. He's already told you. It's like the preacher who said, "Hey, I'm going to go out and buy a car." And God's Spirit warned him, "Don't do that today." And he was fortunate enough to hear God again through his child say, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." And thankfully that stopped him. But sometimes God's just silent. And you're asking God for direction and there's just total silence. He expects you to remember what he said. Amen? Amen. Has anybody ever done that before? Well, God's silent and then you go back and you go, "Wait a minute, now I know why. He already told me." Just like Balaam the prophet, you know, he heard from God about not to do something, and then after a while he started talking himself out of it and trying to figure out a way to go around God. You can't do that. So when God is silent, sometimes it's simply because he's already told you, and you know he's already spoken in your heart, and you just need to stop. Don't get pressured by people. That's the danger. In my heart, God told me years ago, in my heart, I didn't hear an audible voice, at the previous church, don't ever go in debt for a church building. And I resolved that. I said, I ain't ever going to do that again. And lo and behold, when we came here, and over a period of time, nobody's fault but my own, I caved into the pressure to do something that I already knew in my heart God had told me. And God was silent, because then I was praying, "God, do we do this? Do we do?" And he was silent. Why? Because he already told me. And I disobeyed God. Now we got a hefty mortgage. But God's been so mercifully gracious to us. He's helping us. Thank you, God. In spite of me. But I go on record again, I will never go in debt for a building. I mean it this time, God. I really, 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 really do. I learned a hard lesson. Wait on God. And who knows what miracles we miss because I ran ahead and did what the wisdom of the world says you need to do. Who knows? We probably would have had a building like this or even whatever all paid for. No debt. And it had been miracle after miracle come in of provision had I waited on God. Oh, me. Number two reason when God's silent, you have not responded to the last thing he told you to do. God spoke to you about doing something and you didn't do it. And so why should he say anything else to you if you haven't done the first thing he told you to do? I mean, it's a simple thing sometimes. Go help your neighbor. Take the garbage cans back in from the road and bring it to the edge of their house for them. Has God ever told you to do simple things like that? Yeah. I mean, it's not big things that often God tells me to do. It's usually little things because I got to pass these little tests before he gives me the big things. It's the little things. Stop your schedule for today and go help your mom do something when I've got 1,000 things on my to-do list to do. And do it with a good attitude. So you got to be willing to let God talk to you and recognize his voice. And it's usually in the most little mundane things you don't recognize that God is actually talking to you. You know, I didn't think God was interested in a building permit for my fence in the backyard. But evidently, he paid attention to that. He said, "You don't have one. You need to stop and go get a building permit." That's a little thing. That has nothing to do with evangelism. Has nothing to do with saving the world. It has nothing to do with the church. But yes, it does. It all has everything to do with your integrity. And are you going to be a self-driven person or a spirit-led person?
Amen.
That's what everything is important to God. How I treat my wife, even though she hits me in the eye and hurts me. I deserved it. Number three, you're not ready to hear his answer. This is a big one. When God is silent, you're not ready to hear what he has to say. He wants to tell you, but you're not ready. Jesus had that time. He said, I have so much more to tell you, but you're not ready to hear it. That would have been some sad words to hear from Jesus to speak to me. He said, Gary, I have so much more I want to tell you, but you're just not ready. Oh, God, help me to get ready. Help me do whatever I got to do to get ready so you don't have to ever say that to me again. I want you to be able to tell me anything, even if it's a correction. I want to hear it. I need to hear you.
Amen.
And another time, the Lord said to some people, he said, I want to tell you so much more, but your heart's dull of hearing. You really can't take in more than what I want you to have. You can't handle it. Maybe your body's tired. Maybe, you need to rest or whatever it may be. But God always has so much to give us. We got to be ready to receive at any time. So here's a confession of faith. Let's all stand up on our feet. We're going to say this out loud because it's important to confess truth with your mouth and let your ears hear it, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. You hear yourself say this. You can build your faith up by a confession. So I want you to let's all say this together. 1, 2, 3, go. I am going to praise God and say hallelujah anyhow, no matter what happens. I'm going to praise Him for giving me His wisdom and His guidance for every situation I will face in this life. I am going to praise Him like Paul and Silas did until the chains are broken. And next slide, there you go. And every door is open in my life in Jesus' name. I trust the Holy Spirit to continually guide and direct me in all truth. I will listen to God and obey whatever He tells me to do. I have everything I need to accomplish all that God has called me to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you and good night. We'll see you Sunday. Amen.